Three nights ago, the ABC's Foreign Correspondent program broke the news that Israel's so-called prisoner X was an Australian, 34-year-old Ben Zigia from Melbourne, who allegedly killed himself inside a one-cell prison within a maximum security prison, a cell with the tightest possible surveillance and security. It's not known why he was in there, though it's suspected he was recruited by the Israeli intelligence service Mossad not long after arriving in Israel 10 years earlier. And this morning we spoke with Israeli Labour MP Nachman Shai, who has questioned the country's justice minister this week. He wants an investigation into what happened.
Well, there were four of us who addressed questions to the justice minister using his briefing to ask him about this affair and the whereabouts of that person that was jailed somewhere. And by the way, you should know that 3 years ago, in 2010, there were rumors about someone in a similar situation, Mr. X, and a letter was sent to the Minister of Justice, and the answer was that the case was taken care and it's under supervision and so on and so forth. So that person, the Knesset member, let it out, but now he regrets that he didn't insist at the time to get more information and maybe to let the story out at that time.
Can I ask you just a bit more about that? When you say there were rumors 3 years ago, what were the rumors about?
The rumors at the time were that Mr. X, someone, was kept in jail without disclosing his identity, something which is not being done in Israel frequently. I would say this is a democratic country where we preserve very much individual rights, human rights. So that was very much a source of concern to some of us, but we were told that the case was under legal procedure and so on and so forth, and we thought that it is over. Maybe we did not do our job at the time. Now we no doubt have some regrets about it.
Israeli Labour MP Nachman Shai speaking to me earlier this morning. Well, thousands of Australian Jews travel to Israel every year for holidays, to study, to work, even to serve in the Israeli Defence Force. But none, I think it's fair to say, have had a tragic experience like this. Philip Chester is the president of the Zionist Federation of Australia, which funds and organises travel to Israel, especially for young people. His organisation has actually helped more than 10,000 Australian Jews to emigrate permanently to Israel. He joins us from Melbourne this morning. Philip Chester, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Philip Chester, I know you are unaware of the details of this case, but generally, would you be surprised to learn that Australians you send to Israel could be recruited by Mossad as spies?
Fran, I don't really have any knowledge about any recruitment of any Australians to Israeli agencies. It's not something we're involved in, that anyone discusses with us, or that we make any inquiries in relation to. We facilitate young, middle-aged and older people, families and youngsters, single people, to once they make the decision that they want to move to Israel and live there, to help them do that. Many of them, if they're of the right age, need to do some military service, some national service in Israel. But that's where our involvement ends, and they serve the country as they're required, and then go on with their productive lives, hopefully.
Since the tragic circumstances surrounding Ben Zigia's death had become public, we've been hearing from spies and spy agencies and people associated with them that Australians and New Zealanders are particularly attractive recruits for Mossad because our passports are so widely accepted. An Australian passport allows Israeli spies to travel through the Middle East without attracting suspicion. What's your advice, recommendation to Australian Jews who go to Israel if they are approached by Mossad or recruited in this way?
Well, Fran, obviously I don't represent or have any involvement with any security agencies in Israel or in Australia for that matter. So it's not something that we dispense advice on, something we're involved in or have any discussions with anybody on. Obviously, every person has to be cognizant of the laws of Israel and the laws of Australia if they're still an Australian citizen, and be aware of what the implications are if there was ever a breach of those laws. But I'm not in the business of giving advice on issues like that. We haven't been involved in any such cases or had any matters raised with us that we needed to discuss with anybody.
I'm not even suggesting for a moment that you've had any involvement in this at all, but this is very much an issue in discussion now, and even now Fairfax newspapers are reporting that ASIO is investigating three Australians who were recruited. I wonder what your reaction to that is, and I suppose I'm asking you that in this context, in this debate that's currently around, has anyone implied to you at all that they have been contacted by Mossad?
No, no one has implied or said anything to me or I believe to our organisation about that. Of course, these allegations, of which there are many, are flying at the moment about passports, recruitment and the involvement with agencies. They, as far as I understand, do not have any substantiation associated with them at the moment. I assume there will be further inquiries and investigations in relation to that, but really there's nothing that I can comment on that has been put to me in any factual sense about any person being approached or any discussions with them, any Australian, about the use of their passport. As I said before, if anyone is involved in a breach of Australian law, well, that's a serious matter that obviously the Australian government needs to inquire about and investigate. That's perfectly appropriate, but no, I'm not aware or have had any such matters drawn to my organisation's attention.
Do you think it's a confusing line, or you can see why it would be confusing for young Australian Jews particularly who may be spending time in Israel? At what point does loyalty to Israel become disloyalty to Australia? Where is the line that shouldn't be crossed?
Well, I don't, when an Australian decides to move to another country, as you said earlier, a number of Australian Jews have, because they feel an affinity to Israel. As people from other communities move to other countries for various reasons, it happens all the time, the movement of people throughout the world. When they make that decision, they decide to make Israel their home. I don't believe for a moment that they abandon their love and their affinity with Australia. Australia is a wonderful country where Jews have thrived and I believe have made a wonderful contribution as well. So I don't think an issue of dual loyalty arises for Australians when they move to Israel. They settle into their new country. That's their new home. But this doesn't mean any form of disloyalty in relation to Australia. They come back to travel often. Of course, they still have family here, and they maintain a very strong and warm relationship. And we see them coming back and forth all the time. And that's our impression and experience.
The difficulty here, I guess, is it does mean they're disloyal to Australia if they become spies, if, as is alleged in the case of Ben Zigia, that they come home, for instance, to register a false name, get a new false passport. I mean, The Age is now reporting that Ben Zigia had been in contact with Australian intelligence agencies and may have been preparing to blow the whistle on the misuse of Australian passports, because we do know for a fact, this is not just rumour, that Australian passports were held by agents, Israeli agents, in the assassination of a Palestinian militant, the Hamas official, in Dubai.
Fran, as you're highlighting, there are lots of stories flying around at the moment. I can't substantiate or
that's not a story, though. I mean, that at the time, the Australian government registered the strongest possible complaint about that. Our foreign minister at the time, Stephen Smith, said there was no doubt our passports had been misused.
Yes, I remember the incident very well. There was a lot of controversy surrounding it. And as I said before, if any Australian at any time misuses his Australian passport, I understand that to be a breach of Australian law, and that's a serious matter that the authorities need to deal with. But I don't for a minute want your listeners to believe that when we send Australians to live in Israel, there's an industry that exists of harvesting passports or using passports in an inappropriate or illegal way. As I said, it's not something that I have any personal experience of or ever heard anyone discuss. So the issues that occurred in 2010 and that are being alleged now, I have no sense of the magnitude, how many people involved, if anybody. But as I said before, that's something that the Australian authorities should be dealing with. It's perfectly appropriate.
And I accept, as I've said, I am not trying to impute that at all, that you have any knowledge of this, but given these two incidences and given this tragic circumstance and given the inappropriate circumstances surrounding it, it would seem, I wonder in the future now, as the president of the Zionist Federation of Australia, a group that does coordinate, help support and fund young Australians to either move to Israel or certainly travel to Israel, whether you will be at pains to talk to these young people before they go about this issue.
Well, it's not, we don't have a manifest that we hand out which says, you know, do this, don't do that, be aware of this, don't worry about that. If we would, if asked, certainly say to every person who's preparing to move to Israel, please be aware of, you know, all the laws of Israel, of course, and certainly Australia. We would, if someone wanted to discuss this or the issue was arose, we'd certainly reinforce the fact that as if they remain Australian citizens, that they have they continue to have obligations under the laws of Australia, and that they have to be taken very seriously.
And are you disappointed as the president of the Zionist Federation of Australia? Are you disappointed in the Israeli authorities, the Israeli government, that gave Australian government and the parents of Ben Zigir and the family of Ben Zigir very little information about what was happening to Ben Zigir, that the Australian government was really never told the nature of the accusations against him? The information was very scant and came only through back channels, not official formal channels like the ambassador. Disappoint you, that behaviour?
Well, Fran, I don't think anyone knows what communications actually took place, what was discussed, what was conveyed and to whom. I saw that the Foreign Minister originally thought there had been no communication with the Australian government in relation to Prisoner X. They retracted that last night when it became evident that, in fact, there had been some communications.
But only through the intelligence channels.
Well, I can't sit here and assess how valid and effective those communications were. Same with the family. I don't know exactly what, and the family was told or was not told. It's just complete speculation. What I can say, Fran, is the Zigir family are well-regarded and active members of the Jewish community. The death of their young son was a tragedy. We're very sad about it for them and for our community. That's obviously something which has upset us greatly. But everything that surrounds it, communications, what actually happened to Ben, is just is speculation that I can't add to.
Philip Chester, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you.
Philip Chester is president of the Zionist Federation of Australia. It's 9:15.